Thank you again for your presence and for your good attention in the meeting this evening. The Gospel, as Mark writes it, again, where we were last night, chapter 1. I want tonight to turn to verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 40 says, "And there came a leper to him," that is to Jesus, "beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." That's all we're going to read tonight. Clive has been endeavoring to emphasize to us in past nights and again tonight the absolute essentialness that we come to see ourselves not as mankind sees us, but to see ourselves as God sees us in the light of the Word of God. That's why we were just singing that by God's word, at last, my sin I learned. And it was then that I trembled at the law I spurned. And it wasn't until my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary that I knew forgiveness. Earlier, Andrew had us to sing one of the hymns in the other book. And it had that name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. A bit difficult and strange, and it's just one of the names that is given to God, Jehovah, in the Old Testament, with its essential meaning. But we're just going to overlook that. But that one of those verses said as well, "When free grace awoke me with light from on high, then guilty fears or legal fears shook me, and I trembled to die." Have you ever trembled to die? Have you ever thought what it would be like to die? And for many people, if death was the end of everything, people who are lonely, people who are suffering, people who are in depression, then death would be a delightful release. And sometimes people say when someone dies, and it's doubtful that that person has God's salvation, they will say, but it's a lovely release for him or for her. Physically, it may be, but spiritually, no. For that person is going out into the Gehenna, the eternal burning. And not just the burning in the valley outside of Jerusalem. Its burning was night and day, but it has or had its limit. That was just the picture of what it is to go into eternal, never-ending, everlasting judgment. That's why the matter of the gospel is so important and so urgent for each one of us. Now let's take just a few simple lessons from this man who was a leper. In fact, you see, if you went back into the Old Testament, you would find what this man was all about when he said to the Lord Jesus, "If thou wilt, if you are willing, then you can make me clean." Well, was he a dirty man? Now, physically, he may not have been any dirtier than any other man, but it's likely because he had become a beggar. He had to leave his home, and he had to live outside the city. So it's likely he had no water that he could wash himself with. He may well have been physically dirty. But you see, he was contaminated with a disease that was considered to be unclean in the Old Testament. In fact, the man or the woman that had leprosy had to put their hand over their mouth, and they had to cry out to anyone who came near them, "Unclean, unclean." In other words, "Don't come near me. I'm contagious." Well, you see, had we read the record as Luke tells it, and some of you will know that Luke was a doctor, and Luke takes notice at times of things that the other writers didn't. Well, Luke tells us that this man was absolutely full of leprosy. It's a picture of sin. In fact, they tell me that the person that had this leprosy, now whether it is what is known as leprosy today or not is not the important issue, but it was a repulsive type of disease. It was something that was repugnant to look at someone. Now when you see someone with great sores, and apparently there were these scabs and scales all over the body, and it wasn't anything pleasant to look at such a person. And again, Clive has been emphasizing to us that for so long we come on in life thinking that I'm not really so bad at all. In fact, compared to some other people, I'm pretty good. Well, let's take a very drastic example. And you get the criminals in the jail. And one criminal says, "Well, you know, I'm not really so bad because the guy down there in the other cell, well, you know, he's a terrible man. And the other ones down that's on that wing there, they're all real criminals. You see, I'm here unjustly." Almost every criminal is in jail unjustly in their own mind. It really wasn't my fault. And had circumstances been different, had I been brought up in a different home, it would have been different. Had my parents taught me better, it would have been different. Had I gone to a different school, it would have been different. Had something this, had this, had something else, it would have all been different. And I go back to Adam and Eve. Adam came from the hand of God, a perfect creation. Eve was made by God. She was built by God out of Adam, a perfect woman. Environment? It was perfect. Influences? Apart from Satan, there was none. Parents? That found, they had no parents. But what happened? Sin came into the world. Because they had a nature that could choose either to obey God or to disobey. And they chose to disobey. And sin came in. Friend, if you have come on through life blaming circumstances, blaming the fact that it's Dunedin that I was brought up in, or it was the suburb where I was raised, or it was the street where I lived, or it was my parents that gave themselves over, and these things may to a degree have some influence, but just forget all that. Maybe this leper, because there was a time when there were 10 lepers recorded in the Bible. And maybe one looked at the other and said, "Oh, I'm not as bad as he is. No, his leprosy's pretty bad. Mine's not quite so bad." But leprosy in Bible times was fatal. It would end in death. And you and I, each one of us, every one of us, have a disease that is fatal, is mortal, and it's sin. And it's time we stopped looking at the other person, and it's time that I just took a long look at myself. And when the grace of God begins to work in you, and the Word of God by the Holy Spirit takes root in your mind and gets down into your heart, then by God's Word, at last my sin I learn. Then I tremble. Why? Because I'm moving on toward death. And I'm moving on toward eternal judgment and to eternal burning, to eternal suffering. But I tell you, it's good to see a person that claims to be a Christian, that has had an experience when they tremble before the God of heaven. When they recognize their deep, deep need of God's salvation. And it tells me then that this leper who was full of leprosy, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, on the first night, Clive read to us in chapter 5 of Matthew that the Savior went up to the mountain and he sat down there. He took his place. And if I'm ever going to come to the Savior, if you're ever going to come to the Savior, we'll have to come to him recognizing him for who he is. And you don't come to the Savior, Heidi Bill over the fence, how you going? We're not bad, are we? If you're ever going to come to the Savior for salvation, you'll come in contrition. You'll come humbly. You'll come as this man did. It says he came beseeching. He came imploring. He was entreating. It tells me that he was sincere. He was earnest. Some people tell me that I've been looking for salvation and I've never found it. Let me ask you, how genuinely are you searching for salvation? One of the great preachers in Northern Ireland told a story once that I heard on a recording. He told of a man who was a Christian who worked in the coal mine with a man that he had often spoken to him about salvation. One morning after they went down into the mine, you see, you're not in the mine 2 minutes, the dust is always there and your face is covered in dust. And he sent someone behind him and he turned around and he said to his friend, because he could see marks where the tears were running down his face. He said, you're not well this morning. He said, I have made up my mind. I sense my sin, my guilt is such, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to dig one piece of coal until I get this matter of salvation settled. That's imploring, that's beseeching, that's genuine, that's sincere. And some people think they'll get to heaven if I go to church once or twice in my life, and if once or twice I think about dying. No, friends, you'll not get to heaven that way. You'll need to face reality as I have to face reality, that I'm covered in sin, I'm full of sin. Now, don't tell people I'm not so bad. I get down before God and I say, God, I'm as bad and I'm as wicked as any other person in the world. And I'm a sinner. And I deserve salvation. In fact, Luke tells us that he besought. It's almost the same word in the past tense, but it is really a different word. He came begging. That's not easy, is it? Yeah. Not easy for some people to beg. Some people on the street, they've got no compunction to beg. They've been at it a long time. But someone that's been raised in better circumstances, and you've always had food on the table, and you've always had money in the bank to pay the bills, and you've never really had something very desperate, and it's a bit hard to get down before someone and pay. And you see, that's where we have to come. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to express our need. The Bible tells another story, the Lord Jesus, of another story of two men. And it says that when they had nothing to pay their debt, absolutely nothing, one owed a lot, one owed a little, but neither of them had what to, with which to pay. And they were both equal, they were both in need, they were both bankrupt. And that's how we must discover myself really before the God of heaven. There is nothing of good in me, says the Bible. Nothing of good in me. You see, all the long life, perhaps you've been kidding yourself and saying, well, I'm not really so bad. Measuring ourselves by ourselves. Looking at our neighbor, looking at our friends, looking at workmates, comparing ourselves with the dregs of society. No, no. God says that I'm a sinner and I'll never get God's salvation until I take my place as a sinner. Excuses all passed up and gone. Comparing myself and thinking I'm not so bad, all put aside. God, I'm here and I'm a guilty sinner and I don't deserve anything but judgment. What? You don't deserve anything but judgment? No one will ever ask for salvation. No one will ever really seek salvation until he or she recognizes that you do deserve it, that that person deserves eternal judgment. That's why we're talking about repentance, the need to do a U-turn. To turn 180 degrees and go back, recognize that I was wrong about myself and wrong about God and wrong about sin and wrong about death and even wrong about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for you that the Savior died on Calvary's cross. Eliminate everyone else. Forget about the others. It was for you, it was for me, I had to say, that the Savior died. Now this man came, and it tells us here that he came and he was kneeling down to the Lord Jesus. Well, actually Matthew tells me that he worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that we're to worship God and to worship only God. Now there are people that tell me that Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. Well, I tell you that Jesus was either God or he wasn't a good man. He was the greatest con man that ever walked this earth if he wasn't God. Because he said that he was God. And he accepted the worship of the God of heaven. And you don't get a good man that does that if he shouldn't. But thank God that he was God. And he was worthy to be worshipped. And no other could have taken my place and paid the price. For anyone else that was less than God is a sinner. And he or she must then die for his or her sin. The Savior must be sinless if he's to take the sinner's place. And this man, this leper, he worshipped him. Well, we're told he fell on his face. You can't get much lower than that, can you? He's not standing up and saying, I'm not too bad. He's not standing up and saying, I'm better than others. He's down on his face. He's down as low as you can possibly get. And he's imploring. He's beseeching. He's begging the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice as well, Matthew and Luke tell us that he referred to Jesus as Lord, the Supreme One, the Sovereign One. And then he says, if thou art willing, if you are willing, he says, thou canst make me whole, thou canst make me clean. This man has no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus could heal him of his leprosy. The only question that was in his mind was this: would Jesus bother about me, a poor, dirty, contaminated, defiled, unworthy leper? Would he worry about me? You see, there was another man in the Bible. He was a blind man. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he began to call out. And the people said, look, just shut your mouth. Just keep quiet. Just hush. Because he's a big man. And he's a busy man. And he's an important man. And he hasn't got time for rubbish like you. Now just keep out of it. Well, no one had to tell this leper that. He recognized it. And he's down on his face before the Savior. And the only doubt in his mind is this: would the Savior be bothered with him? May I tell you, that's taking your place, isn't it? Would God be bothered with me? Would God be bothered with you as far as saving you and fitting you for heaven? Let me tell you, yes. He says, if you're willing, I know that you can make me clean. And all that, if someone tonight was to say to the Savior, and you don't have to say it audibly, but from your heart we're able to say, Lord, I'm so vile, and I've done so many sins, and I just don't deserve salvation. If you're willing, I know that by your death on the cross, you can save me and you can make me clean and fit me for heaven. I know what the Savior would say. Take a look at Calvary's cross. A million times, yes, I'm willing to save you. I was willing long before you wanted salvation. I went through almost 2 years of longing to have God's salvation. And you know, I discovered something after I trusted Christ. I discovered that the God of heaven and his Son Jesus Christ longed to save me far more than I ever longed to be saved. Do you know that? God loves you with an infinite love. And the Savior says, look, am I willing? Look at my sufferings on Calvary's cross. Just reflect upon what I suffered there. The shame, the ignominy, and the physical sufferings, the emotional sufferings, the mental sufferings, and the spiritual sufferings. When the God of heaven, after mankind did all they could to hurt the Savior and to shame the Savior, the God of heaven poured out upon him his just wrath and judgment on account of sin. Take every sin that you've ever committed and ever will commit, and every sin that I've ever committed and ever will commit, and every sin that every person that has ever lived or ever will live, and put them all together and concentrate the judgment on one person, and take the eternal ages of judgment and put them into 3 hours. And the concentrated judgment of the God of heaven woke against the blessed Savior on Calvary's cross. If you're willing, oh, says the Savior, I'm willing, all right. The poet said, he showed me his hands. They were marred by my sin. He showed me his feet. They were nailed to the tree. He showed me his hair, where the crown of thorns was, and his side deeply wounded. Have you ever by faith glimpsed the Saviour? Not a statue, not a picture, just through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, the Saviour hanging on Calvary's cross, arms outstretched, nailed by his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns on his head, stripped of his clothing, lacerated before he was nailed to the cross, and in thirst with all his bones out of joint, and God's judgment poured out upon him. Have you ever seen him like that? And just simply said, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. May you do so tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Saviour who gave his life on Calvary's cross. Thank thee that he lives forever and is able to save all that will come to thee by him. Work in each and every heart, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.